Academic selection should be abolished. That's the conclusion of a report commissioned by the First and Deputy First Minister's Office. The three-year study, which has not yet been published, also supports previous analysis that Protestant boys in working class areas do worse academically than their Catholic counterparts, and it criticised political leadership in unionist areas. The former PUP MLA, Don Purvis, who is behind an early report on underachievement among Protestant boys, is in the studio with me this morning. Morning to you, Don.
Morning.
Good Stephen. To see you. Good and too. The NI21 MLA, Basil McCrae. Good morning to you, Basil.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on here, Don?
Well, a failure to put any of the recommendations from all of the previous reports into action. We've had report after report from the First and Deputy First Minister's Office, from the Public Accounts Committee at Westminster, from the Equality Commission, from a UN committee, United Nations committee, and a series of reports following my call to action in 2011. And now this report, which may not see light of day, given the DUP stance on academic selection.
Yeah, but it's more than the DUP stance, isn't it? OFM, DFM, they can't agree. The DUP and Sinn Féin can't agree a way forward.
Yes.
So selection's here to stay.
Well, selection will remain as it is until we see some political leadership for the DUP showing that they actually care for Protestant working class communities, even though they believe that there's no votes in it for them. There is something structurally wrong with our education system, that a section of our children are not benefiting from it. We should have an education system where all children benefit. And we can see how that happens. For example, in the report, it talks about the Catholic maintained sector and the attitudes towards education, the engagement with the community, the engagement with parents, the value placed on education, and the merger of schools, secondary schools, state sector, Catholic maintained secondary schools and Catholic grammar schools, who have merged and now no longer select for education, they select in education. And that's what needs to happen. And the difference between the Catholic community and the Protestant community is that there's a tendency towards elitism within the Protestant community and certainly within the grammar sector, where they take children of all abilities in order to fill their quota. And that's not operating academic selection as it should be operated. And that's one of the biggest difficulties we see here. So it should be abolished.
Do you accept that, Basil?
Well, people that want to abolish it never come up with a better alternative.
I've just outlined one.
They'll never come up with a better alternative that's acceptable to the people. Because what you have at the moment is people want to send their schools to a particular school. The schools are oversubscribed. And then you go, well, where are you going to put the excess children? And you get into either a lottery or people being sent places by geography, and you get into busing, you know, all sorts of issues that just don't work. If you want to change the academic selection system, fair enough, but you would have to go and convince the people of Northern Ireland that it was in their individual best interest to do so.
Well, it's...
Hold on, Don, you had a fair rapid start there. What I can say to you is that most people are really worried about their own children's progress. They want them to go to a good school, where they won't be bullied and where they can actually make something of their lives.
Yeah, but you want a fair playing field, Basil, don't you, for working-class kids, working-class Protestant kids?
And I'll be quite sure that we can all cite really good schools that would be called secondary or secondary modern. And the problem appears to be that what you need to have is really good leadership in the school. It's about good headmasters or headmistresses taking the school forward. And you should not be looking at a one-size-fits-all approach.
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't think Basil's read the report. If you look at the international evidence and all the evidence that has been shown time and time again, it shows that non-selective systems actually benefit all children. Those who would normally do well in an academically selective system, or in other words, a grammar system, continue to do well. But those children from poorer backgrounds who wouldn't normally do well actually perform better in non-selective systems. So all the evidence shows that. I think what we lack here is the political leadership, particularly from the DUP, to say there's nothing to fear from a non-selective system for your wee Johnny or your wee Mary who sits in a grammar school. And I think the report also shows that because the grammar sector in Northern Ireland are stronger in terms of their voice, or stronger in terms of their lobbying, particularly around the DUP, that they get to the system to remain the same. In other words,
you want to scrap the good grammar schools?
I'm not talking about scrapping grammar schools, Stephen. Absolutely not at all talking about grammar schools. Every parent cares about their child and their child's education. To say that there are some who don't is just a real insult to parents from working class areas. I think what we need to look at is what's happening within the Catholic maintained sector, where they have recognised that academic selection is not benefiting all children, where they are starting to merge grammar schools and secondary schools to make all ability schools, where it is proven that children from all backgrounds do well.
Here's Charlie in Carrador. Morning, Charlie.
Morning, Stephen. This topic really interests me because I believe children should be tested, and I believe in the IQE. And a personal experience, we have discovered that our daughter's mathematic ability is below par. Now, we discovered this because we plan on putting her through the IQE. And we have discovered now through conversations with her teacher and stuff that if she was to do the IQE now, she wouldn't be able to pass it. But, Stephen, if there was no IQE, the way these socialists are trying to they're trying to do away with. If there was no IQE, we would never have discovered that our daughter's mathematic ability is below par. Now, we are sitting down with her and we're working with her. And you know what? She's catching up. And she's catching up to speed and she'll soon be of the ability. And that's my point, Stephen. Children need tested. You know,
let me let Don Purvis speak to you.
I'm not arguing that children don't need tested. I'm not arguing that they should not be tested. Of course, children need to be tested to see how they're progressing. That's what teachers do. I'm talking about selection in education as opposed to selection for education. Children should be tested, and children are tested at Key Stage 1, 2 and 3, and that's important. And streaming, I think, is also important. But to select children according to their class, which is what this is about, is not good, and it's not good for working class Protestant children.
I disagree with you, Dawn. My personal point as a parent is it's not up to politicians to educate our children. It's up to the parents.
Yes, and I agree that you should care for your child and you want the best for your child, but politicians should care for every child and what's best for every child, not just a few.
I have a question.
Sorry, Stephen. Every child is not the same. Every child hasn't got the same ability.
I agree. And what I've said is that the evidence has shown that children of mixed abilities, when they're educated together, they all perform well.
I disagree.
You're disagreeing with the evidence then, and that's fair enough.
It's not your evidence, it's somebody else's.
It's
evidence.
International evidence, and it's been shown time and time again to and it's proven to be right.
But
and
until Don Purvis, you get around the fact that there are a vast amount of parents in Northern Ireland who want academic selection.
Yes.
In Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Until you get around that, you're beat.
Yeah, I agree. And what I'm saying quite clearly is that there's been a lack of political leadership on this. And I think it's more to do with votes than it is to do with caring about every child's education.
Basil, you say you have a question for Dawn.
Yeah, I want to know from Dawn, does she think that this gap between Protestant and Catholic children, does that occur at the age of P6, P7, or does that happen earlier? Is it the fact of doing the test that makes this go wrong? Were they equal up until then? Or when does this disparity occur?
Well, I'm not clear when it occurs, Basil, but what I can do is point to the Westminster Public Accounts Committee, who looked at a comparative community and actually looked at the Protestant and Catholic children in Glasgow. So, for example, working class children, how they were educated and if there was a disparity between the performance of Protestant working class and Catholic working class. And it was clearly shown there was no disparity. And that's
I've seen that report.
Yeah.
I've seen the difference actually between Glasgow and Belfast is quite stark.
No, but what I'm saying, no, Basil, let me finish. Because there's no difference between Protestant working class children in Glasgow and Catholic working class children in Glasgow, because there's no academic selection.
No, you can't draw that causal. You can say that what you can say is true as a fact, but you cannot say what the cause is.
Basil.
I can tell you 30% of education comes from school. The rest of it comes from home and the environment.
Actually, it's 80% comes from outside the classroom, as I put in my report.
Your report is not the definitive report. I went to the OECD in Paris to talk about this. The real issue in this is that most of the disadvantage in our young people starts way before the age of four. It happens when you're in your communities. And simply trying to deal with it at 11-plus stage is wrong. The 11-plus reflects what goes on in our society. It does not cause it. And if you want to know what the real difference is, There is a difference in communities about aspiration, about what you want to do with education, about the type of job you want to go to, about the sort of attitudes that your peers
have. So why would that difference exist in one community? Well, why would it be different?
Basil's absolutely right, and he's probably read all these reports, because all of the reports say exactly the same thing. There's a difference in the value that's placed on education. It does start at early years. It does involve parental engagement. It does involve the community. It does involve aspirations or lack of aspirations. We know all those things.
And by the age of four, you can be up to 2 years behind.
We know all those things.
What I'm saying to you is
that the structural difference that exists between the Protestant and Catholic community is the tendency towards elitism within the Protestant community,
and that's caused by academic selection. So why, Dawn Purvis, would there be a more distinct lack of aspiration in the Protestant community compared to the Catholic community? Why?
Stephen, this goes way back. I remember in the early 1980s, Brian Turtle, who was then head of the old Belfast Institute for Further and Higher Education, did a report looking at educational disadvantage within Protestant working class. And a report then said that it was masked by the opportunities for employment. In other words, we had heavy industries, we had shipbuilding, we had everything else, where young people went straight, particularly boys, went straight from school into those industries. They got apprenticeships and they worked their way up in terms of a trade. That still masked the level of educational disadvantage that existed. So that's something that has been there. The lack of value placed on education within Protestant working class is there. Parents' experience of education hasn't always been a good one. The lack of positive role models within the community is a factor. There are lots of different factors there, and we need to address them all, including the issue of academic selection.
Stephen and Andrew. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen. I think that the first caller that you had on hit the nail on the head on this, and that is that parents and their children don't need politicians interfering in education. Remember that Katrina Rowan abandoned the responsibility.
Interfering or is it cult leadership?
They can call it what they like, but clearly after almost 30 years of trying to, if you like, impose the ending of the grammar schools, the facts speak for themselves. They haven't been able to do it because the public don't want it to happen.
Stephen?
They're afraid that they're going to lose votes on this issue.
Stephen, thank you very much. 030-3080-55-55. Alex Kane tweets this morning, Basil McRae, a question for you. He asks, is NI21 official policy pro-academic selection?
It's pro-good schools and...
That's not the question. Well, everybody's pro-good schools. I don't think I can find anybody in Northern Ireland that's pro-a bad school.
Well, actually, Stephen, there are schools that do need to be helped and improved. That is a problem.
Yeah. Is NI21 official policy pro-academic selection?
Yes, of course it is. But I was going to explain why.
Is that written down anywhere?
Well, it's written down in front of me here now. But it's really
Have you just made it up now?
I've been arguing on education for many, many years, and I have read the OECD reports on education. I have done the research, and I can tell you what people are missing here.
Have you not got a manifesto, Basil?
I've a manifesto developed over 8 years of being in the Assembly, and I am very keen to talk to you about many, many important issues, right, including housing, health, whatever. But I can tell you education, the big issue is that education starts really early. That's where our problem is in Northern Ireland. It's at the four-year-olds. It's not at the 7 or 11-year-olds. We've got to get in earlier.
Always nice to talk to you, Basil. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Dawn, just before you go this morning, you're a former director of the Mary Stopes International, carried out some abortions in Belfast. What's your view on the abortion case ruling in the High Court last week?
I have a number. Well, first of all, I think it's to be welcomed that there is a recognition that the current law in Northern Ireland does not meet international human rights standards. But I have two, probably more concerns. But my two main concerns about the ruling is, first of all, what impact the ruling will have on women and women who no longer wish to be pregnant, because the judge said that he could make a declaration of incompatibility. That declaration will mean nothing to women. The other thing he said, that this should be read down into law, and I think that's what needs to happen, and I would urge anyone with any influence on, to appeal to the Human Rights Commission to ensure that that's included in the submission. The other thing that worries me is women who have become pregnant as a result of sexual crime. The judge suggested that women should go to the police to get a certificate to say that they've been raped in order to access abortion. No hurdles or barriers should be put in the way of people accessing their human rights. And I think this needs to be appealed.
You give evidence to this case, didn't you? Some pretty distressing rape cases in Northern Ireland.
I did. I swore an affidavit from my experience in working with women of all ages, from 12 to 52, who came to Mary Stopes for support and advice. And some of the stories of some of the women that came are absolutely horrific. And I would defy anyone to sit down face-to-face with one of those women and tell them that they should be forced to continue with the pregnancy against their will.
OK. Don, thanks very much. Nice to see you again. Thank you.